Amen. The gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 27, beginning at verse number 45. As per usual, I'm reading from the New King James Version of Scripture. And therein, the reading is this. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Verse 54, so when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Let the church say amen. 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 Just for a few minutes today on this Good Friday, I want to preach from the topic. I want to preach from the thought. Well, I guess before I give it to you, let me just say this. I cannot take credit for this title. I read a book called The Cross and the Lynching Tree. It's written by James Cone. And the fourth chapter of that book is called The Terrible Beauty of the Cross. So I'm going to borrow a phrase from the renowned African-American scholar whose name is the late James Cone. And so today, as the Holy Spirit will give me ability, I want to preach from the subject. I want to preach from the thought, the terrible beauty of the cross. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for allowing us to come out to the house of worship one more time for one more Good Friday. Lord, you're not just good to us on Fridays, and not just Friday is good. Every day is good that we wake up on this side of the living. And so, Lord, we give praise to your holy name. And, Lord, we just thank you for all those who have gathered in the house of worship today, Lord. And, Lord, I pray that you will take me as your clean vessel, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and pour out your spirit on me, Lord. Help me to be a blessing to these thy people, Lord. But most importantly, Lord, help me to be a blessing to you. It's this I pray in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The terrible beauty of the cross. Today is what many people call Good Friday. The Friday prior to Easter is called Good Friday because the Lord Jesus Christ died on a Friday. He died on a Friday and he resurrected early Sunday morning. Let me just say it like this. If it were not for that faithful Friday, there would be no early bright Sunday. Let me say it again. If it were not for that faithful Friday, there would be no early Sunday morning. There'd be no need to proclaim that. If Jesus did not physically die and was buried in a tomb to rise 3 days later. And so we praise God for that faithful Friday because it is for that reason that we have hope, and our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today on this Good Friday, today we pay our respects. Today we show our reverence for the Lord's death until he comes again. And let me tell you like this, he is coming again. That leads us to our subject passage for today. We're in Matthew chapter number 27, beginning at verse number 45. The New King James Version reads this way. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness all over the land. And so Matthew chapter 27 verse 45 says, now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness all over the land. Hebrew days were quite a bit different, or at least they were referenced quite a bit different than we reference them today in modern Western civilization. Remember, Genesis 1 decreed that the evening and the morning were the first day. Genesis 1 decreed that the evening and the morning were the first day. Of course, here in Western civilization, the morning is followed by the evening. All that being said, it all matters. I don't have time to break all that down. Here's what you need to know. Jesus was on the cross for about 6 hours. He bare the cross for about 6 hours, from 9 a.m. in the morning till 3 p.m. in the afternoon. But the last 3 hours, that is from noon until 3 p.m., darkness came all over the land. To put this in contemporary language so you can understand what I'm saying, the time is noon when darkness comes over the land. The time is noon when darkness comes over the land, and the land is dark till 3 p.m., the time that Jesus died. It's the middle of the day. It's the hottest part of the day. There's nothing in the Bible that says that it was raining outside, yet darkness was all over the land. I believe the physical darkness over the land communicated the spiritual darkness, the spiritual depravity of this generation here in the Bible and humankind as a whole. Pastor, why do you believe that the physical darkness that we observe here in the Bible is representative of the spiritual darkness of this generation? Well, there's a lot of ways I can answer it, but I think Jesus covers it the best. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 22, verse 53. In Luke chapter 22, verse 53, Jesus is talking to the chief priests, he's talking to the elders, and he's talking to the temple guards who came to arrest him when he was in the garden. Listen to the words. Luke chapter 22, verse 53, the Lord Jesus says these words. When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Let me read that to you again. When I was in the temple daily, I'm in the temple, I'm in the church, teaching and preaching every single day. But now you come after me with clubs and everything else, trying to take me. Every day I was there, and now you come at me like this. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Let me sum this up for you. Let me see if I can put this a different way. Wicked people came and arrested a young man who was 33 years old. This young man named Jesus of Nazareth had never did anything wrong to anybody. Yet they arrested him, and they falsely tried him. They wrongly convicted him, and then they executed him. These are wicked people. But as Jesus said, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Good God Almighty. And so I believe for that reason, I believe that the physical darkness of the land exemplified the spiritual darkness of the people. Verse 46 reads like this. It says, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? So about 3 p.m., Jesus cries out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, as the King James says, why hast thou forsaken me? When Jesus became sin for us, the Father did in fact forsake Jesus for a moment. You do know that God and sin cannot be in the same place. God and sin cannot occupy the same space. And so the moment that Jesus became sin for us because he loved us, at that moment, God the Father turned his back on God the Son. Lord, 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 why is it that God the Father would turn his back on God the Son at seemingly the time when he needed him the most? We're going to get to that a little bit later. We're going to get to that a little bit later, because in a way it seems wrong for God. But in Jesus doing this for us, he was reconciling us to God. Praise God, hallelujah, that he did. Verse 47. Some of those who stood there when they heard that said, "This man is calling for Elijah." Verse 48. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink. And then verses 49 and 50 read like this. The rest said, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out with a loud voice again, or Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and yielded up his spirit. Now, for the most part, verses 47 through 50, for the most part, they explain themselves. When Jesus said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," again, that means, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of the people thought Jesus was calling for Elijah. Some of them thought he was calling for Elijah. And the Bible says at that point, someone ran to go get a sponge. They filled the sponge with, the New King James says, sour wine. They filled it with vinegar. And they put the vinegar on a reed or put it on a hyssop plant and offered it to the Lord Jesus. Offered it to the Lord Jesus. And I guess one of the reasons they might have gave it to him because they couldn't understand what he was saying. Perhaps to hear him more clearly, they offer him the vinegar to moisten his vocal cords, if you will. And so some of them, they was confused about what he said. One ran to go get a sponge to give Jesus some relief. But look at what some of the other wicked people said and did. Everybody else said, "Leave him alone. We want to see if Elijah will come." You know everybody always loves to see a good show. And it don't even matter if it's at somebody else's expense. As long as it's not at our expense. Sometimes we don't mind seeing a good show. That's how it is in 2019, and that's how it was in biblical days. And so Jesus cried out again, and he yielded up his spirit. In John's Gospel, John chapter 19, verse 30, the Apostle John, he says that the Lord said these words, "It is finished." And praise God, it is finished. So that was verses 47 through 50. Verse 51. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. Verse 52. And the graves were opened, and many of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So verses 51 through 53 communicate that at the moment that the Lord Jesus breathed his last breath, the veil in the temple, that is the curtain in the sanctuary, the curtain in the sanctuary that separated the holy place from the most holy place, that thing split in two. Now, I don't want to get into this, but the research, the scholarship seems to suggest that this thing could have been as thick as about 4 feet. If I got that right, it could be about 4 feet thick. That's pretty thick. So we know this ain't no man split in the temple. Now, I don't know that for sure. Or split in the veil in the temple. I don't know that for sure, but that's what some scholarship suggests. It could be that thick. We know it was pretty thick. And so there's no man who could rip this. There's the only person who could do this, especially without the machinery that we have today. So the only one who could do this is God, is the only one who could tear down the veil in the temple. And I am of the belief that the tearing of the veil in the temple, it represents, or it is representative of the access that New Testament Christians have to God. Praise God, I ain't got to go to no priest when I need to talk to God. I don't need to go to the pastor when I need to talk to God. I don't need to go to my teacher when I need to talk to God. I ain't got to go to my wife. I ain't got to go to my mama. I can go to God all by myself. And so I'm thankful for the access that Jesus provided for us to the Father. There's only one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. And so, here in these verses, something else happened. It just wasn't just the splitting of the veil. Here's where it gets a little interesting, real interesting if you ask me. The Bible says that the bodies of Old Testament saints who had died, they got up from the dead. Now, the Bible does say after the resurrection. But you may say, well, Pastor, how did the graves get open? Remember that the graves were open because of the result of the earthquake. And so since the earth had quaked and the rocks had split, the graves were open. And because Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection, when Jesus got up, the Old Testament saints, they said, we give up Jesus. God worked it out like that. And now look at verse 54. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Now, crucifixions happened on a regular basis during the Roman Empire. They happened on a regular basis. So the centurion, the Roman guard who was there watching Jesus and others who were with him, they were very much well accustomed to seeing crucifixions. And if you read your Bible, Jesus ain't even the only one being crucified this day. Two more men were crucified this very day. But remember that Jesus died first. Jewish law dictated that people could not hang on the tree because that would have defiled the Sabbath. And the Sabbath day was coming. And so the Sabbath day being a Saturday, and Jesus died on a Friday, they're like, oh, we got to get them down. So go ahead and break their legs so we can go ahead and get this thing all over with. But when they went to go break Jesus' legs, he was already dead. And so there was no need to break his legs. And so we do know that Jesus died first. And so we can't say that this happened as a result of the other two men dying. This happened as a result of Jesus dying. And the Bible says that when Jesus died, the earth quaked and the rock split and the graves were open. Now all of this had happened. And this centurion, this Roman guard, he got the picture. He said, hold on, wait a minute. Truly, this must have been the Son of God. Because things don't happen like this every day. I do crucifixions on a regular basis. Things like this never happen. But all this is happening is already dark all over the place. This man must have been the Son of God. That is the sum total of our verses. I have just one point I want to make this afternoon. Now keep in mind there are a plethora of points. There are a plethora of nuggets that we could pull from this particular scripture. But for the sake of today's message, I'm going to give you one point. And my one and only point is, he didn't have to do it, but he did. He did not have to do it, but he did. Jesus did not have to die on the cross, but he did. I mean, let's be real. If you believe Jesus Lord, say amen. If you believe Jesus Lord, say amen. And so you on board with me. I believe that Jesus is Lord. And so if Jesus is Lord, that means he's God. He could have did anything he wanted to. He could have did nothing if he didn't want to. So he didn't have to do it, but he did. Let me put some Bible to this. John chapter 10, verses 17 through 18 say, therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Jesus did not have to die, but praise God that he did. Now somebody's saying this because y'all smart people, y'all always thinking a step or two ahead. Somebody's saying, Pastor, I'm confused. If Jesus didn't have to die, if Jesus chose to die, why did he choose to die? Pastor, why did Jesus die? Why did Jesus choose to die? Man, I'm glad y'all asked that question. Y'all on y'all game. And let me just say this. I don't know all of the answer. And I'll share with you that no preacher knows all of the answer. And if somebody tell you they do know all of the answer, they lying to you. They don't know all of the answer. But praise God for the Bible. I do have a few reasons that Jesus decided that he would lay down his life on the cross. Y'all gonna have to just bear with me for some of these. And so here are just some of the reasons that Jesus chose to die on the cross. Jesus died to absorb the wrath of God. Jesus died to absorb the wrath of God. Jesus died to please the Father. Jesus died so that we might be blameless. Jesus died so that we might be perfect. Jesus died to free us from sins. Jesus died to heal us from moral and physical sickness. Jesus died that we might live for him. He died to show the power and greatness of God. Jesus died so that he might gain his joy and our joy. Jesus died so that he might be crowned with glory and honor. Jesus died so that we would have peace with God. Jesus died to fulfill the Old Testament prophecy, to let us know that we can trust the Bible. Let me just say it like this. Jesus saved our soul. He died to save our soul from a devil's hell. And that's just a few. And so let me just say this. There are too many reasons for me to try to exhaust. Too many reasons for me to try to exhaust to tell you why Jesus chose to bleed and chose to die. But it all boils down to this. Jesus chose to die on the cross because he loves us. That's what it all boils down to. If you can't remember any of the reasons, if you can't remember any of them, know that God the Father told Jesus that you can go. But as the Bible said, he had the power to lay it down. He had power to take it up again. But Jesus chose to give his life that we might have ours. And I don't know about you, but I can get excited about that this morning. If I can get excited about other things, I ought to be excited about Jesus. If I can know everything about boxing, if I can know everything about football, if you can know everything about the Kardashians, if you can know everything about what's going on in the news, if you can know everything going on in the world, you ought to know a little bit about Jesus. I cannot say enough, nor can it be overstated. And for that reason, I will close the point So the one and only point is, he didn't have to do it, but he did. And I'll add one more thing. Praise God that he did. The terrible beauty of the cross. As I make my way to a close here, let me just offer some parting comments. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Let me just be thankful, and let us just be thankful, that the blood of Jesus washes all our sins away. Let me just say that again. Let us be thankful that the blood of Jesus washes our sins away. Now some of y'all know that I do like to sing, but I can't sing. But I do like some songs. And one songwriter said, "There's a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners who plunge beneath that blood lose all their guilty stains. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Jesus is not just the Son of God. He is God. And he could have done whatever he wanted to, or he could have done nothing at all. And he still would have been the King of Glory. Yes. But he died for us." Let me just say it like the gospel writer. John said it like this in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So Jesus died a brutal and bloody death. Jesus died a brutal and bloody death that we might have everlasting life. And my brother, my sister, that is the terrible beauty of the cross. Amen? Amen. Everybody stand and let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for one more time allowing us to come into the house of worship. And we thank you for the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Lord, if there is no faithful Friday, if there is no Good Friday, no faithful Friday, there is no bright Sunday. And so, Lord, we say thank you for Good Friday. Lord, bless this people, bless these people, and bless this invitation. If there's someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, if there's someone who has not been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, may they don't leave the same way they came. And those of us who know Jesus, those of us who have been baptized, those of us who have put our faith in Jesus, may we be strengthened in our faith, and may we always remember the terrible beauty of the cross. Is this we pray in the master's name of our risen Lord and only Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 The doors of the church are open.